Ben Wagner is going to join us, Oriole broadcaster, at 8:30 to talk Orioles baseball. But right now, Brandon Hyde fired last Friday, last Saturday, actually, for the Baltimore Orioles. Mancelino takes over as the interim manager, my opinion is. Buck Britton would probably get that job on a fresh start in 2026, but that's just my opinion. But a lot of Baltimoreans, you know, this is like this a city of nostalgia, Ed. We always want to go back and do it the way it once was done. You know, we always think about the why not year, even though that produced no playoffs. We think about how great the Buck Showalter era was, even though it produced no World Series championships. But that was the last really successful run we've had before this last two-and-a-half-year run of ours. Well, Glenn Clark had Buck Showalter on the show recently, and this is the question that Glenn asked him.
Understand, I'm not asking you this to try to get you to answer a different question when I say it this way. Mm-hmm. If they called, right? If they did, would there be any awkwardness from how it ended? Like, would that be a factor for you at all? Would you be able to completely just say, I don't care about that. I would talk about the job. That's it.
Well, no, I don't. First of all, you know, how it ended, it was a heck of an honor. I stayed there, what, 8, 9, 10 years? I'd have to look it up, but you know, to survive that long in a great town, a great ballpark, there's nothing awkward.
Okay.
But, we've got a place up there that we go to when I visit my son. But I don't want to get, you know, I'm hoping that they win the next 10 games. I really, you know, I don't, it's, as far as awkward, baseball people, you know, you're around each other every day, and that stuff gets put in the back burner very quickly if there is something like that because you're trying to win.
And from that answer, do you think Buck Showalter would be open at 69 years old? Just turned 69, so next year during the season he'll be 70. His birthday is a day behind mine, that's how I know. Do you think...
There's so many people I know on your birthday.
Yeah, Gemini's rule.
There's so many 22nd birthdays.
Do you think Buck Showalter would be open to a reunion with the Orioles?
Why not? I mean, honestly, why not?
I think the only way Buck Showalter returns to Baltimore...
I mean, it's a new cast of characters.
...is one of two things going to have to happen. Either the hire will have to be made over Mike Elias, or Mike Elias isn't here. I don't think Buck is Elias' type of manager.
Why?
Because too Buck is too hands-on. Yeah. I don't think Buck likes all the numbers games. I don't think
so. He definitely does not.
Yeah. I don't think those two mix. I really don't. So
I don't know. I mean, to me, and I agree with it, he definitely resisted analytics, in my opinion. And obviously this is how this team is formed and how they got their success, you know, here and in other places. But I mean, I think if Elias was going to just, you know, think outside the box, as people find a saying, maybe something to look at is somebody who's actually just a proven manager who has sadly, just has a record of resurrecting teams and then, you know, leaving and then they win the World Series. But that's another issue. But he's a proven manager who's, you know, a real baseball guy. I don't know. I think I'd love to see him back. I don't think it's going to happen either, but
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Why? Buck is the guy, and I love him. It works for him. This is not. He's got to be the smartest man in the room. I happen to like this regime that put this team together. Mm-hmm. I think there's some pieces that they have to add to complete it in upper level management. But I like it. I don't think there's a good mix between them and Buck because Buck always has to be the smartest guy in the room. And if he's not, it's your demise. He is going to prove that he's the smartest guy in the room. That was Dan DeKett's demise. I was critical of Dan DeKett, but in all honesty, Buck Showalter didn't help him.
No, not at all.
He didn't help him at all.
No. And the problem is that was widely known. I mean, that was when it, and that's the problem. When it gets out to the street where people know who outside the organization, that's a problem.
And, when, you know, the minute that Dan would make a mistake, it became a 5-alarm fire. And regardless of other things that Dan did, Dan was always going to be remembered for the mistakes that he made. When you make a lot of decisions, you're going to make some mistakes. You go to the plate enough and you hit a lot of home runs, you're probably going to be amongst the leader in strikeouts too. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think the current culture of this organization is for Buck Showalter. I don't
think it's a good fit, honestly. But I did get excited when I heard, you know, his name bandied about. And I don't think it, and his age is not a factor.
And by the way, Buck wanting to be the smartest man in the room doesn't mean that he is.
No.
He's not always the smartest man in the
room.
And
it's not necessarily a detriment, because some of the guys who are exactly like that, and by that I mean guys who want to control everything. They, mm-hmm. You know, they want to be the GM and the manager or the head coach or whatever. You know, and I'm thinking of guys like Bill Belichick, Brian Billick.
Mm-hmm.
Billick was that way. But they were successful.
Right.
They were good. I mean, so, you know, it's sometimes, it was, you know, it's what it takes. The guys were just not going to.
You think Billick wanted to control everything with Ozzy?
Not control, but he was always the smartest guy in the room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was.
Oh, yeah,
a smart guy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know.
1,000%.
Yeah. But I mean,
more so
and
than,
a smart
more
guy.
More so
though.
Than Buck.
Yes. I always liked Billick. He had a very dry sense of humor. He did. I mean, I remember he had one of my favorite quotes.
Buck is humble compared to Billick.
Yeah. But he was fine. Jane Miller conveyed this to me. She was at a party and ran into Brian Billick. And was talking about the city. He goes, "Oof, I'll tell you, it's a load off my mind that Martha Stewart, Ed Norris, and Jamal Lewis are off the streets." It's like, exactly. It's like,
your thoughts, though. Hypothetically, would you be okay? This is completely hypothetical. Ed, tell the people we're not starting a rumor.
No, we're not. It's just an exercise.
Yeah.
It's a radio thing, yeah. Radio bit.
Would you be okay with a Buck Showalter reunion? 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Buck Showalter appeared on the Glenn Clark Show. Glenn asked him if he was called by the Orioles, would it be awkward because of the way it ended? And Buck kind of pushed back and said, you know, it's baseball. What, it didn't end any awkward kind of way. But our question to you is this, and it's just a hypothetical. We've heard no rumors or anything like that. Just based on that interview with Glenn, would you be okay with a Buck Showalter reunion? 410-583-1057. Let's go to Crofton and get Keith. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Ed. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
Great, thank you. So two things. One is, I don't know if he left a bad taste because of how he handled the 2016 wild card. And then I also think he lost the clubhouse after that, didn't he?
He did lose the clubhouse, 100%.
And I just feel like, I wonder if you can recover from
that.
Well,
different clubhouse now. Different clubhouse, though, now. I mean, about the fan? Are you talking about the fans or the clubhouse?
Oh, the clubhouse.
Oh, no, that's a different clubhouse. I mean, that's those guys are long gone. Some of those guys probably won't even know what happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Jackson Holliday. You remember what happened in 2016? That was 9 years ago. Yeah. What was he, 12? He's 21 now, right?
Right.
Yeah, that this clubhouse won't remember that.
Oh, yeah. You mean when he put in Obaldo instead of Britton? Yeah, I remember that. No.
Different. And a lot of the guys and people in the organization have changed.
The whole organization's changed.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
PR staff, everybody. It's a different room. Let's go to Baltimore and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I do think, to answer your question, yes, I would be good with Buck coming back, and here's why. Even if not a Buck, you need somebody with a strong mentality, because if not, Elias is going to keep putting a bunch of yes men in, like Mancelino, who keep talking about scoring points and not runs.
Come on.
That did happen.
I know. But
he's not used to doing a lot of interviews, man.
I mean, come on.
That's tough sitting
he's
up there.
He's been baseball his whole life. He knows.
That's tough. It's not easy to do.
I mean, I just did it the other day. I talked about the Orioles point there. Run differential. It's just, you know, whatever.
Let's go to Ellicott City and get Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
Great segment.
Thank you, sir.
I have a 2-point support of Buck. I would love to see us bring Buck back and kind of create the new role, because I believe that Ryan Ripken should be the next head of Orioles baseball coach. He would be perfect for our baseball team. Bring Buck back to help him get ready.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Oh, Ed, you look like you just saw a card trick.
Well, I've never heard Ryan's name mentioned as a manager.
I don't know if Ryan would want that job.
There's a lot of reasons. I mean, having the Ripken name is so much expect. I don't know.
At least they picked a different Ripken this time.
That's right.
He even talked yesterday about the pressure. He know understanding Jackson Holliday because of the pressure that comes with the name. So you're talking about managing a team that your dad has ownership in on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. I was like, no.
410-583.
Bill's not interested either. He's not Billy anymore, right?
Who?
Bill Ripken.
Bill Ripken. He's not interested?
I think he's made it clear. So
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Would you be good? Would you be okay with a reunion between the Orioles and Buck Showalter? We got some text out there, Joe.
Yeah, here's one. I actually had to look this up, too, because I can't believe that it's true. Buck has managed for 22 years. He's won a single playoff series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that was
and
Detroit
then
Tigers.
And it says, why would anybody want that back if we can't get over the hump?
I don't get it. Who's that texter? Did he sign it?
He's not signed.
Because I don't understand. I kind of set it up in the last segment how we have a love affair with things that never really are fulfilled. Remember I said the why not year? We love that year. Folks, we didn't go to the playoffs. Why do we want? I love back in, what was it? A couple of years ago, the 2023 season, when everybody was the 2022 season, when the team was good down the stretch, let's have another why not year. Well, we did because we didn't go to the playoffs. What's the Buck love affair? I don't get it. Yes, he helped revitalize the team and turn the team around. That's because they went out and got pretty good players. You know, Zach Britton going from being a starter to the game's dominant closer at the time. Adam Jones, Chris Tillman trade turned out right. There's a lot of other pieces that went well. He had good players. Dan DeCat went out and got good pieces. Manny Machado coming up being great. Jonathan Scope coming up being great. Chris Davis finding a home run fence. You know what I mean? A lot of other things happen. I don't get the love affair. I get the Earl Weaver love affair. I get that. That produced championships and dominance. I get that. I don't get the Buck thing.
I don't either. I don't know.
Let's go to Dundalk and get Wayne. What's up, Wayne? Wayne?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted about the Buck thing. I don't know if Buck's the answer, to be honest with you, you know, but I do think that we need a veteran manager to deal with these young guys coming up. I think you need a veteran manager. And can I say one other thing?
Go ahead. Go right ahead. We know you called for something else. That's why I waited.
Yeah, I called yesterday to talk about Mancino, man. It's getting confusing right now. I don't mind. I mean, I do mind. But it's one thing if you just suck and can't win. But the decision-making from the team, like last night you had Kierstead, Mateo, and Trump. You had bases loaded and no outs. And you get one run off an error. If Kierstead, if that guy don't make the error, that's a double play. You're out of inning. Bases loaded, nothing out of it. You know what I mean? And it's just like I just don't understand it. And then I've heard people talking at the beginning of the year, maybe you can answer this, about Basalo coming up around the All-Star break. Like if we suck, let's just bring these guys up. And who knows if they can hit MLB pitching. But let's bring them up. Let's see what they can do. Who cares? But I'm tired of you got the man, Hanley, whatever his name is, Trump coming up. Bring Basalo up here and see what he can do.
Hey, thanks a lot, Wayne. Appreciate the call. Right. Let me say this on veteran managers. He is one now, but when Aaron Boone was hired by the Yankees, he was a new manager with young players. It worked out pretty good for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Rocco Baldelli, he was a young manager when he first got hired by the Twins, young players. I mean, we've seen young, inexperienced managers succeed. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you necessarily need a veteran manager.
No, and first of all, somebody's got to start somewhere. You know, every veteran manager had his first job. Just the way it is. It's like, I'm not one of these guys that has to, you know, you wait for the guy to have the grayest hair to get the job. There's some talented guys out there who are young.
Let's go to Justin in Pikesville. What's up, Justin?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning to you.
Thank you, guys, for all your knowledge and expertise. I appreciate listening to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Rob, question. So, at what point in the season where they established that the season is going nowhere, would they consider bringing up Pasayo and other guys, like getting a head start next year, getting experience and kind of, you know, not putting pressure on Adley, but like kind of giving him competition sort of? I'll hang up and let you listen to your thoughts.
Justin, that would be for me now, only because this ain't working. I'm not giving up on a season. To me, if you bring up the young guys now, Ed, that's not my definition of giving up on the season. That's my definition of trying to find out what we have. Because these guys may actually light a spark.
It's almost funny. Like, listen, this isn't being pessimistic. This season's pretty much done. Mm-hmm. I mean, to get back from this would be, an historic return. the only people with a worse run differential are the Rockies. It's like, this is not a good baseball team right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, you know, we're trying to be critical for radio's sake. It's just, and you want to bring people to see what you do have.
Yeah.
And the more, you know, there's a huge gulf between the minors and the majors. So give these guys a chance. Let's see what they can do at this level. See what you got.
So call it to answer your question. I'd do it now.
Yeah.
If they were ready. I mean, bring them up and let them play every day and see what you got, because what you have right now just isn't working. We're giving out shovels at 8:45. Ben Wagner would join us on the other side, but also we're giving away two tickets to any 2025 Chesapeake Bay Sox regular season game at Prince George's Stadium. What caller, Joe? What caller you want? Caller number 5-410-583-1057. Two tickets. Any Chesapeake Bay Sox regular season game at Prince George's Stadium. Giving away now to caller number 5. 8:32 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Connell on vacation. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, with Masson. He is Ben Wagner. What's going on, Ben?
Oh, my man. Fighting the raindrops again. Can you make it stop, please?
Oh, well, they call me Rain Delay Rob, so, you know, I don't feel sorry for you when it happens when I'm not working. That way Adam Martion can't blame me for it. So you're on your own right now. Listen, Ben, I was just telling Ed, you know, you know what's going on in that clubhouse. You go to games even when you're not working. You're in the clubhouse. You're in the managerial press conference. I was about to say Brandon Hyde, but now Tony Massolino. You're in those pregame press conferences. Last night, the Cardinals came into that game 0-16 when trailing after seven innings. They're now 1-16. It's been that type of year for this team. Can you explain what's happened from last year to this year with this baseball team?
Well, you thought at the end of the games it was only going to get stronger, right, with Felix Bautista being on the back end of that thing. But what has happened at various points, we've seen inconsistency from Gregory Soto, Sir Anthony Dominguez, and more frequently, and maybe surprisingly, the biggest is Yennier Cano not being able to slam the door and get some outs. And what was really concerning about last night was how crisp on Memorial Day that bullpen was. 9-for-9, Sir Anthony Dominguez comes out of the bullpen, Yennier Cano, and then Felix Bautista, 9 up, 9 down, no questions asking. It was just quick and dirty. I mean, it was the bullpen of the Orioles that you love to see. So then the step back last night was certainly disappointing. But for me, too, let's remember, with the Cardinals in that late-game situation and the opportunity that they were given, or that was taken away from the Orioles, the Brian Baker home run that he allowed wasn't an awful pitch. You know, it was running down and away. Arenado just kind of got out in front of it and buggy whipped the thing into the splash zone. It's the defense that followed and two plays that weren't made that allowed for that cushion for the Cardinals to kind of cruise to a victory last night. And when you're dealing with Ryan Helsley, I mean, it's tough to get that guy to do anything other than throw 100 miles an hour. So it was an uphill climb late in the game situation. But, you know, the things that kind of snowball is, all right, so you have a big inning by the Cardinals. Okay, you're still in the game. You're only down 3 runs. But the problem is the next inning, a 1-2-3 frame on 7 pitches.
Yeah.
Nobody worked in at bat. It was just done. And now all of a sudden you go from playing with 9-6 outs to 3 outs just more rapidly. And that was what's, again, just another disappointing approach in a sequence of things that unravel quickly. And that to me is where this team hasn't grown. This team hasn't taken the next step to try to rectify or slam the door on these things.
Is there any indication, I'm going to talk about Adley Rutschman, that his problems are, I mean, not the current injury, but related to an injury from last year? Because he went from being the face of the team, second half of the season, he falls off, he continues this season. Now he gets hit in the noggin, he's out. But, I mean, any indication he's hurt or there's something else going on with him?
Present day, I was told that if everything went okay with his medicals, he was going to ramp up, get on the field yesterday, mm-hmm. take lots of rounds of BP, and then if everything, again, checked out when he got to the ballpark today and Mother Nature stepping in the way, he would be cleared to go if he was good to go. So that's the good news in the short term. After taking the foul ball off the mask and going through the different baseline tests at Major League Baseball, and the Orioles run him through. So that's the present day. So the good news is Adley is very close to returning to be available for the Orioles and get back in the lineup. I'm with you. I thought the foul ball last year that went off his hand was an impact, and he won't admit it, and he has not admitted it, that it was the issue, that it was the downturn in production. But, man, it certainly looked from the date that the foul ball went off of him against the Rangers, the production and everything. The slug dropped, the OPS dropped, the overall eye test told you that it made an impact. Remember, there was a foul ball that went off his hand this year as well. So not that he was performing at the level as he was early in the first couple of months last year, but the Orioles are very tight-lipped on it. We don't see Adley a lot, you know, to get into his ear and really press him mm-hmm. on, you know, an opportunity to really divulge or find out, you know, if this is a lingering effect or a compound effect of what has happened to him with those foul balls coming down on his hand and how it affects, you know, him holding the bat and trying to get back to the offensive superstar from both sides of the plate that you expect. But, you know, it's just been a grind on many Orioles at one time, and that's why they're in the situation.
Yeah. Ryan Wagner joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ben Wagner, I'm sorry, joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And I said Ryan because that's the person I was going to ask you about.
That's my brother.
Ryan Mountcastle did have 3 hits last night. But overall, he's batting .235 on the year with just 2 home runs. OPS in the low sixes, .606. What has happened to Ryan Mountcastle?
That's a great question. He certainly has tried to pull the ball more, and I don't know if that's opened everything up leading into this season where he was so focused on going up the middle the last couple of years because he didn't want to worry about the wall in left field. But maybe the wall coming in had a reverse effect on Ryan Mountcastle. He had a couple of doubles yesterday too, which I thought were really encouraging, but we have not seen the drive that we saw in spring training and early in the season from Mountie that we saw. And I've talked with him around the cage a number of times, and he's been doing early afternoon workouts, and it's a timing mechanism for Mountie. He's been leaking out over the plate a little bit.
Ben, you think these guys work out too much? You think these guys work out too much? Because
good
I mean,
Lord, I do. This is where I have some old school Ben Wagner, you know, yell at the clouds, baseball approach. I put a lot of value into batting practice and players that go through so many things in their routine every day that sometimes being on the field is a good thing and seeing how the ball jumps off the bat, how the ball is carrying on a certain day with your swing. You know, I've had players tell me they take 300-400 swings a day
in the cage.
Too much.
And that seems like an absurd number. I wish I had the stamina to do anything 300 to 400 times a day, but this is the life of a 45-year-old man. I do. You know, old baseball grizzled guys will sit around and say, well, you know, you can't pull fat. And I've never strained. I didn't even know I had an oblique. And yeah, they come up with all these adages and, you know, these grisly stories. And that's great. But, you know, it's an alarming thing right now in the game where the injuries are just rampant. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's no time off for these guys. They work out like crazy. They work out before the game. They work out after the game. Then they're expected to perform at an elite level and sometimes very strenuous ways that they move and twist their body. And the injuries mount up.
Did you see the Detroit Tigers coming this year?
I thought they would be better.
Yeah, better. Yes.
I certainly thought I knew they would be good. I thought their pitching and certainly their young players, if they took a step forward, they had a chance to really improve. Did I think that they would have the top winning total at this point in the game? No chance. I didn't see that one coming. You knew that they would be very exciting and a big team to watch every fifth day with the best pitcher in the game on the hill and Tarek Skubal. But to put it all together the way that they have and really quickly in this turnaround too is very impressive. Very impressive. You know, they've got good leadership right now. They had a vision and they have the talent to start to put it together. But what Riley Green has done, what Spencer Torkelson has done, is remarkable. And they did it as well with somebody that was a little bit of a problem, you know, on the field and in the clubhouse. But Javier Baez has turned back the clock.
Yes, he has.
By a decade. You know, he looks like 2015, 2016 Javier Baez. And the guy that the Tigers rolled out one of the largest contract commitments that they have recently made, you know, since the heyday when they were pushing for the division and the pennant.
Once again, proof that guys grew up, you know? He's grown up.
Well, sometimes you need a little truth serum, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Javier Baez certainly is playing like a kid again, and I think that had certainly a good effect on the rest of the Tigers.
There he is, Ben Wagner. Ben, thanks a lot, my friend. I hope they get it in tonight.
Hope so. Hope a W, too.
Oh, that definitely.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, man. Thank you. What's trending NBA playoff style at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Ed Norris, giving out shovels.
I'd like to give one to you for saying that, and you're just lucky Jeremy wasn't here when you said, I hope to get it in, because you know he would have been all over that. Anyway, I'm going to give it to violent sports fans. This is out of hand. It happened in a very unlikely place.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give out shovels, Ed Norris. Who gets your shovel?
Crazy sports fans. This is out of hand. The other day I talked about the San Diego Football Club, you know, who are just assaulting opponents, you know, in their stadium. And they're a brand new soccer club, MLS soccer club. But I mean, terrible stuff, you know, KOing people, sucker punching people. This one just is very disturbing. I don't know if people paid much attention to this. This kid, his name is Jared Funk. He's an Indiana Pacers fan. He has a words with two Knicks fans at an Indiana bar. They're at a brewery after game two. What's really disturbed by this is not the fact he ends up stabbing both of them.
Wow.
Stabs both of them. But what makes it even worse is there was trouble and like the police say they were called to the scene. Then an employee of the brewery calls them off and says, no, you know, it's good. He's gone. The SOB comes back. He went and got a knife. Like, I don't know about you, but one of the things that's good, you know, sometimes is when you get people just to go back to, you know.
Right.
Because I always say when people carry stuff with them, they're carrying a gun particularly, they end up using it when if they had to go back to their car and get it, they probably wouldn't.
Right.
You know? So it's like, but if you have it on you, it's too easy just to pull it out in a moment of fury. This kid actually left, came back sometime later, stabs one guy in the back and one guy in the leg. It's over a basketball game that your team won, by the way.
Desperate times.
Like,
man,
what the hell is going on? Like, I can see violence if you're playing in the game. You end up, you know, breaking into fisticuffs or something. You're watching a sporting event, and you go home and get a knife and stab two people. Like, this is just, I can't wrap my mind around what's going on right now with sports.
I can't wrap my mind around why you said fisticuffs.
You're lucky I don't want to
come over here.
Yeah, I could have said kerfuffle.
I don't even. Hey, Joe, he's fighting like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish statue now, with his palms towards his face.
This guy just ruined his life. I'm gonna cite Confucius and really piss you off. Before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig two graves. Wise words.
Oh, so do we all agree now, especially in the 17-game schedule, that 4,000-yard season is the standard, right?
Passing yards, yes.
Passing yards, you know what I mean?
Rushing yards would be even more impressive.
Yeah. Now, in his last two full seasons, he had 3,600 yards passing in 17 games, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, passer rating of 91. Last year, he had 3,897 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, passer rating of 90.5. My shovel goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You are being on hold by that guy, who'll be 42, by the way, Aaron Rodgers. That's what Aaron Rodgers has done his last 2 years.
Yeah.
You're not going after the Aaron Rodgers that had 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. He's no longer that guy. Or the 37 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He's no longer that guy. Aaron Rodgers, his last two full seasons, has thrown double-digit interceptions. Before then, you know the last time he threw double-digit interceptions? Mm-hmm. 2010.
Wow.
Think about that for a second. That's the Aaron Rodgers that you're putting your entire organization on hold for. And I agree with Terry Bradshaw, and I never agree with Terry Bradshaw. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's an absolute joke. But I hope you get him. That means it's us and the Bengals.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I hope they get him too.
I'm going to give you a shovel, but I'm, you know what? You want him? Go for him. Yeah. Go for him. Locked On Ravens' own Kevin Ostreicher will join us at 9:30, but on the other side, NBA playoffs, Indiana, close to closing it out. Ed doesn't want to talk about it. He might disappear for like 10 minutes.
I'm going to the bathroom.
I know you are, for a long time. Up next to the Fan.